I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. Very happy Wednesday here in the Odyssey Houston, the building here, the West Point Lincoln Sugarland Studios as well, because we were just graced by greatness, John Lopez.
We were.
Yeah, there's a whole Texas.
The Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Texas pep rally happening here. And, of course, the guest of honor, or guests of honor, Texas cheerleaders and Toro, Hall of Famer, was just here dapping us up moments ago.
He actually got on the microphone, which I thought would be interesting if he had stayed.
I was going to tell him to come in here and run the board.
You about to put a Hall of Famer on the board now?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, but he's got those fat, fuzzy fingers.
Yeah. He might have pressed the wrong button.
Fat, fuzzy fingers around here.
Don't take it personal.
not you. Yeah, so.
I'm talking about someone else.
We're all excited, and I think the most exciting thing for me personally, we got ourselves a new Texans playoff banner, complete with the 2025 playoffs and Swarm City moniker.
Swarm City, baby.
Yeah, so we're leaning into it. It's Swarm City here.
Copyright in the
Houston.
Loop.
I don't think that you can. I don't think that's how that works. You didn't put in the trademark.
Yeah, we should have put the trademark.
We should have put in the trademark.
Damn. They would have had to come to us.
That's right.
All right. Will the Texans change what they do defensively pre-snap? John Lopez, that's going to be something that's of interest headed into this game versus the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday.
Yeah, sometimes when you listen to, in this case, Nick Caserio and Texans All Access, it just sort of makes you think. And you mentioned this yesterday, I believe.
I don't believe you.
I believe you did when you were talking about, hey, the Texans don't like to disguise much at all. You know, they just kind of say, this is what we do. We're going to go get you. We're going to make your life miserable. You know, they just kind of like.
Something about, we're going to go get you. Made me chuckle.
We're going to go.
It sounds like you're playing with your granddaughter.
I'm going to get you.
I'm going to get you. That's what they do. They're not like all. The Steelers, on the other hand, do kind of disguise a lot of stuff. But set that aside. The Texans pretty much line up. I mean, there's always a few things, but they pretty much line up and you know what's coming. Should they change that a little bit? Let's listen to Nick Caserio, first of all, talking about some of the things that Aaron Rodgers can do.
Offensively, I mean, everything starts with Aaron. They obviously brought him in the offseason for a reason, to play in games like this, to play in games like they did Sunday night. I'd say he's still playing at, you know, a really good level. I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's probably as smart and instinctive as any quarterback that's played in the history of our game. I don't think he's thrown interceptions since like the Chargers game. So it's been like 6-7 games. So it's the history of his career. He doesn't turn the ball over, but accurate as hell, smart as hell. You got to be, I mean, if he sees what you're doing, I mean, he's going to take advantage of it. So he's played well, and he's honestly showed a lot of toughness playing with the wrist.
That was it. If he sees what you're doing, he makes life tough on you. Is it an act of desperation? Is it a smart adjustment? Is it what is it if the Texans can – that I've said it multiple times already this week, and you'll hear it again. That's Aaron Rodgers. That's the guy that's seen everything, knows how to do at the line of scrimmage. When he knows what's coming, what who's where, to make the right ball placement, ball accuracy is next level. Deep balls, calling those plays at the line of, or is it like, hey, screw it, we're just going to stick with what we do?
Yeah, it's going to be very hard for me to get to the place where I go, hey, you need to change what you are entirely. And I'm sure that that's not what you're asking.
Yeah.
You're probably asking, like, do you throw some tweaks, or there's some curveballs,
some pre-snap
that
stuff
you throw in here?
Yeah.
I don't think so, because the ethos of what this defense does is the essence of this defense. Mm-hmm. It really and truly is it's what
we're
makes
gonna get you.
It is. It is. We do what we do.
Yeah.
We do not change that, and we put the onus on you to be reactive of sorts. We all know what's coming. What are you going to do about it? Because I think that the idea is, these guys aren't having to, and this sounds bad because I don't want to make it seem like these are airheads. These are very adept defensive players that these Texans have, as we've seen in evidence a number of ways and a number of times. but they don't have to do as much thinking. It ends up being innate, right? It ends up being we know these things as opposed to I'm figuring out these things. And so they play fast. They play physical. It's what allows, I think, in some instances, players that others might look at as just a certain level to play above what that expectation would be is because they could play free and be the best versions of their athletic selves. And I think that you change that, especially in a singular game week, trying to say, hey, now we're going to add these different wrinkles outside of the typical wrinkle type things that they do, right? The match zone things the various different ways that they do outside of what would feel like just the most basic of defense that, you know, a layman would have. Yes, they do that. And I'm not trying to denigrate anything that they do over there. I don't think, though, that they need to go and play outside of themselves, especially because how much of a threat is the Steelers' offense in all reality? Mm-hmm. Yes, we know that Aaron Rodgers is capable of identifying a lapse or a place that, you know, a weakness that can be taken advantage of. How capable are they of taking advantage of those circumstances?
I tend to agree with you. Don't overthink it is often very good advice.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yes, it's often very good advice. Don't overthink it. And D'Amico doesn't like to get too cute. But I again, if Aaron Rodgers says, this is what they are, I know exactly what to do against them. He's one of the best, if not the best, in NFL history at doing that. Maybe just kind of keep things fluid, maybe. And then the other part of this is the other Caserio cut that made me think about this, Figgy. DK Metcalf is coming back. We talk about the safety position, you know, and how it's in flux, and we don't exactly know what their plan is going to be. We know they have a plan. We don't know exactly what there's going to be. Tackling has occasionally in the secondary been an issue. Listen to Caserio here.
Yeah, he's a significant problem. I mean, receivers don't grow on trees that look like that. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he's fast. When he gets the ball in his hands, talk about tackling.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hard to get to the ground. He has a big play element, which he's certainly added to their offense. I mean, go back to the Baltimore game, not the last week here, but a few weeks ago. I mean, I think he had 150, 60 yards receiving. And, you know, Aaron's not afraid to give players an opportunity to make a play on the ball. Like, we saw that even going back to last year with the Jets when he put the ball up there to Garrett Wilson, and Garrett made the play there in the end zone against Kamari. So when you have a guy like DK, you're thinking, well, I'm going to give my guy an opportunity to make a play on the ball. And once he gets a ball in his hand, like, we're going to have to tackle him. So, no, he's a big part of their offense, and I'm sure they're excited to have him back for our game.
That's the other part of this that made me think about this. What is the only example we have of Aaron Rodgers against the D'Amico Ryans defense? Who's 2023, the Jets, the Texans. D'Amico running this defense, keeping it pretty straightforward, simple, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, threw for 3 touchdowns.
Last year.
It was 2023, wasn't it?
Halloween, last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah.
But either way, had some success against
Aaron Rodgers, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was last year.
It was last year? I thought it was 2023. Either way.
2023, he got hurt early.
Yes, that's right. That's why I thought so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But this is his first season with the Steelers.
But he's had success throwing the ball up, in that case, to Garrett Wilson, throwing the ball up.
And also his coach was Robert Saleh.
Yeah, yeah.
And pretty familiar with this type of defense, too.
And in this case, it would be DK Metcalf. But Aaron Rodgers has had – no, what you're thinking of is he's had a lot of success against Texans defenses. But in his only appearance against D'Amico Ryan's Texans defense, I think that was – either way, he's had success against D'Amico Ryan's defense. And so it just sort of made me think, you know, Aaron Rodgers against this defense, knowing what's coming, he's had success.
Yeah, it's the 21-13 victory on Halloween.
Okay, yeah.
The reason why I have a hard time is I try and black that one out. I really and truly do.
And they also lost to the Jets 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
One to the Mormon lover.
Mormon lover, which I think you're trying to was
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson is the mom thing.
He had the MILF lover, is what we're doing there. He had a nickname. Oh, yeah. Mormon. We used to call him Mormon Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that what y'all was calling him?
Before when he was coming out of college.
Oh, okay. I did not catch that memo at any point. With Aaron Rodgers, he has that particular ability. And this is DK Metcalf is a very big and fast dude. Tackling is going to be important. Just in general, I just don't know how many shots are going to be available for them. And I think that this is why I think it's important that your rush is on point. Aaron Rodgers, would you care to take a gamble as to how well he plays under pressure this year? What his numbers look like relative to the rest of the league?
Pressure, as in pressure from the pass rush.
When he's under pressure, yes, sir. Not in like the generic sense of pressure.
I still think it's pretty good, is it not?
He is bottom 10 passers qualified when it comes to EPA, when it comes to completion percentage over expected.
Mm-hmm.
When he does get under pressure, he doesn't do all that well relative to expectation, as Toro is now on the board for us, counting us down.
Don't hit the wrong button.
Please don't hit the wrong button.
No, he's counting us down.
I don't know what he's counting us down to. But Aaron Rodgers also does not hold on to the football very often.
Yes.
So the idea of shots being there, mm-hmm. he's not going to want those very often. And when he is holding on to the football, it's going to be incumbent upon Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. And I feel confident in them to just beat their man,
mm-hmm.
right? Especially with the growth that Will Anderson Jr. has displayed this year in his ability to get, add to his pass rush repertoire and really know which things to go per time.
Yeah.
Danielle Hunter, even more so, it's a 15-sack season for him. I don't know that you need to do any disguising, any things to, you know, when they're outside of the norm. And if as long as they do what they have done all season long, I think that they bode well for not allowing those scary portions of Aaron Rodgers having the identifiers there or, DK Metcalf being a menace with his size and speed to really be a huge, huge problem for you.
Well, there is something else to note here. It's not out of character per se, although it's slightly different for D'Amico Ryans to do something different come the postseason. Remember when we were all talking about, oh, they never travel.
Yeah.
In fact, he said it. We don't travel. We don't do that. We don't do that or whatever. And then what happened?
He did. Derek Stingley traveling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility, and I wouldn't put it past him. I think that's more of a preference thing. And here, I will say something I don't think anybody would be disappointed with.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke's ability to figure out what to do defensively above my own.
Yeah.
I know. Shocking.
Yeah.
I just don't think that it's going to be – I don't think that's necessary. Mm-hmm. And I think that the – If I was looking at this, I think that doing what they have done to make themselves one of the most feared defenses, if not the best defense in the league, it's sustainable against an offense that barely clawed the way into these playoffs.
I do think this, and by the way, I think I'm getting a little bit uncomfortable with Toro, who's now just...
Yeah, he looks disappointed. He looks as if I told him that I got a C on my report card.
Arms crossed.
Yeah.
looking through the window. He ran Figgy's board for a few minutes there, and now he's just staring at us. Very uncomfortably, but
is he disappointed in my take? Does he think that they need to change up things on the offensive or on the defensive line?
Oh, Toro with a hot take.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, maybe that's what he was looking at.
But I, at minimum, this is something that I think is, you know, obviously worth watching over the course of the game because it is Aaron Rodgers, because the Texans are relatively straightforward in what they do, and you know any possible adjustments they might make. And by the way, in a separate but related thing, does Derek Stingley travel with DK Metcalf?
I honestly don't. I feel like Kamari Lassiter's improvement this year makes it so that you don't have to. I think that actually is something that I wouldn't want them to do, and I understand what you're thinking here. Mm-hmm. Derek Stingley isn't a racer of a defensive back, but it's the knock-on effects of traveling a man is that now you get guys like, is Jalen Petrie going to have to slide out and cover outside, something that he does not do in a regular circumstance? What are the ways in which it bends and twists your defense in order to force Stingley to stay with DK Metcalf? And what kind of cards does that give Arthur Smith now to play if he sees they're traveling this guy, so now I can pull Derek Stingley to various places that he's not typically? I think, again, play to your – this is one of the games that it feels like you play to your strengths as opposed to trying to figure out what the other team's weaknesses are, because I think you overlay decently.
I think it's worth watching, and it's also very interesting to me. You mentioned Arthur Smith. I haven't even hardly considered him this week. To me, it's going to be what Aaron Rodgers.
You're just like, he's his own.
Line of scrimmage. Yeah.
Well, historically, he has been his own coordinator. Mm-hmm. It feels like he has done a little bit more acquiescent because you can't be over
Arthur
here
Smith's
overstepping.
Like, you go, brother.
Hey, it still feels like he's his own coordinator, to be honest.
And I think more so in this game than others. Kind of like what Nick was talking about. And in this game, now that it's the postseason, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be afraid to get hit because this is it. You know, maybe this is one where he goes like, I got this, big dog.
Yeah. Every time Aaron Rodgers looked to the sideline, looked like, what are we doing?
What are you doing,
man?
And another thing that I can put on here when it comes to the DK Metcalf thing is Aaron Rodgers, they because I know people have talked about the Myles Garrett thing. We talked about it with with Clint yesterday in the cross. The idea that a couple weeks ago when the Steelers faced off against the Myles Garrett and the Browns, they did everything possible to make Myles Garrett's life very difficult so he couldn't get that sacking. He could not impact what the game was going to be. That requires you to put extra guys in to send double teams to chip. If they're holding more guys in and they have fewer guys in routes, I think that you can now afford to have two guys looking at DK Metcalf. So it's not just Derek Stingley. Now it's Derek Stingley and somebody over top or something to that effect.
Safety should be named later.
That's a great point with Kayvon Wallace. Not there, but I think that allows you to use your resources a little bit more general there. Another reason why I think, do what you do. It's well situated to handle a lot of these circumstances. And as much as we want to go, Aaron Rodgers has seen everything. D'Amico Ryans has been around the block a few times. Matt Burke has been around the block. I think that it's in the same way that, Aaron Rodgers, whatever he's doing there offensively, I think that they have a good foundation of how to do that. And some of it is getting the ball out quick and just making sure you rally and tackle.
The tackling also ties in.
It sure does. It sure does. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 here on a Wednesday. I am thoroughly rattled by Toro doing every job on this show at some point in this segment, but I think we made it through. Coming up next, we'll definitely make it through some lunchtime confessions.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Do y'all remember my parking saga that I talked about? I have a spot in front of my house. You've parked there.
I do recall this, yeah.
I have a spot in front of my house, and cars have been...
You was going to call the police on somebody for parking there.
I was thinking about putting up a sign.
Putting a cone right there.
Like private parking or whatever. So this weekend, we didn't go down, fishing or anything. Obviously, we were at the Texans game, but Saturday and Sunday mornings, there was another car parked in front of my house on my property in the spot that's at my house. And I went, I did it again. I was like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. Well, then I come to find out that the reason there have been more people parking on our street and specifically at my house is there's apparently some club owner or restaurant owner that bought a house around the block from me. And so the after party is always at his house.
Oh.
A lot of club owners don't really drink or do all that until they close, and then they invite their staff and some, guests or whatever. Well, there's some, clarity. All these people leave this club or this restaurant and go, party into the night at his house, which happens a lot, no big deal. But they're all parking on our block now, including at our front, in my front yard.
In my front parking spot. Yeah.
Amazon came in yesterday. Amazon arrived.
Oh, you got a sign?
I got two signs.
Oh, you're that guy now.
I'm that guy now. And you know what?
What the signs look like?
It says private property.
Boo.
Boo.
We got a little tow truck on it, too.
It's private property. It says violators will be towed at their expense. Now, I'm not going to probably do it, but they don't need to know that. Because my kids...
He's going to end up being a listener.
What's the address? 85 Old Selma, Queens Boulevard.
So I didn't want to do it. I talked about it, about a month ago or so. I didn't want to be that guy. But my granddaughter was coming to... Well, she spent the night, Saturday into Sunday morning.
And she drove?
No, but they came to pick her up the next morning. There's a car in my yard. In the spot in front of my house. Mm. I mean, here's the thing. I don't even feel that bad about it. I
don't know. You sound like you feel bad about it because you keep bringing it up.
I'm just explaining because I didn't want to do this.
But you made me.
Hey, it hurts you me pushed more me than it
all
hurts
right,
you.
All right, okay.
Kind of thing.
Very good.
But I'm going to put those two signs up this week. Yeah, private parking. Violators will be towed. Wrong? Fair? Unfair?
I mean, at this point, I would probably say, I would say that's fine. To me, that's better than calling the police.
How much of an actual inconvenience does it really provide you?
The big one was the Sunday morning.
This is the first. Was this the first time that it was really inconvenient?
Our granddaughter spent the night. My daughter-in-law came to pick it up. She had to park up the street with the stroller and all the bag and backpack and all that stuff. I'm like, all right. We got to do something about this.
Man, we got a show full of Karens, man. I'm sitting here calling the dog catchers on this random-ass dog hanging around my house. You over here putting up a sign, don't park in my property.
People on the text line were like, nah, you're in your right. The people are backing you here, John Lopez. Right. Do what you got
to
do.
I think it's fair. I think, to me, like I said, I ain't going to try to get nobody. So I don't never want to get nobody told.
Yeah.
But at least put a sign there like,
that's
yo,
what
you,
I'm doing.
You can't just keep parking here, man.
Yeah.
972 said, nah, tow him. get him out of here.
Now, if it get crazy where I'm just like, all right, I got to do something. Yeah. But last thing I'm trying to do, man, it's not fun getting told.
It was funny, too, because about 9 a.m., 10 a.m. Sunday morning, I was leaving, you know, to go to the Texans and to watch the Texans. And this girl and her boyfriend or whatever come out, and she's like in this cocktail dress. It looked like Walk of Shame stuff, man, holding her high heels in her hand. I was like, all right. Like,
yeah, this is enough.
That's enough.
I've recognized that I get way too annoyed by sometimes the conclusions that are drawn about some coaches in some instances. This one was brought on by the coaching carousel that we have right now. In a particular, I mean, there's a number of names, and it really hasn't even heated up yet, the coaching carousel, but there's a number of names being kind of bandied about certain jobs. And one of the names that has come up is quarterback coach Davis Webb.
Oh, I saw that.
The Broncos quarterback coach.
Yeah, yeah. Texans legend.
30 years old.
Yeah, that's right. Who he's turning 31 later this month, in fact. Yeah. He's interviewing for the Raiders job today. And I saw Jordan Renan. I don't remember how to pronounce his name correctly. Apologies to him if I said that wrong. Now, he does cover the Giants. However, he said something that has been mentioned to him on multiple occasions, that Davis Webb was integral to the Giants and Daniel Jones' success during the 2022 season as sort of a player coach. Not an accident that they fell apart afterwards. And I was like,
that's a bit much.
Word. The whole reason this thing went together is because Davis Webb was over there. Like, sometimes it feels like we do a little much there. Yeah. The other one that is maybe more so than this one, but I started thinking about, you remember how Brian Daboll got the job with the Giants? You remember what the big calling card that people were
Josh
giving
Allen?
For him? Yeah, he is the Josh Allen fiction. Yeah, I was like, really? You think he's just going to come and do this again, huh? You think that he's just got that in his bag? He's just over here bippity-boppity-booing dudes into being MVPs. You think that's how this works, huh? Okay. Yeah. But we do this so frequently.
Every time. And it's every cycle.
You're setting yourself up for failure.
Monken. Yeah, it's a bunch of coaches that's like that.
And not to say that you can't give dudes their credit, because coaches do make impacts. You've got to give them their credit for the things that they've been able to do.
And there are examples.
There absolutely are. I always talk about Pep Hamilton there in Indianapolis, and Peyton gave him credit himself for helping him develop into that dude.
Hell, I think Baker Mayfield.
With Liam Cohen?
Yeah.
Yeah, without question, is one of those things that you could attribute. I think sometimes we get so far over our skis, though, that we then do everybody a disservice, because now Davis Webb got to come and be like, oh, you don't come in and make the quarterback situation, huh? It's like, hey, maybe. Or maybe he's just going to like come in and be a coach and have his goods and his bads, and it's going to kind of be a little bit more neutral than the wizardry that we try to attribute to somebody.
Yeah, no, I it happens every single cycle. But at the same time, you know, you can think of, like as we mentioned, you can think of some examples where, like, well, that guy really did help that particular guy.
Sure, yeah, but it ain't all fall apart at the heat.
It all fell apart because Davis Webb left.
Right.
The Giants would be in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Contender for a championship if Davis Webb was still in the quarterback room. Yeah, it's too much.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So I was talking to Reggie earlier. Confession, I got here a little late to work because I was waiting on my cleaning lady to get there because I didn't want her to try to fumble with the door code and all that. So I waited, and she got there a little late, and then I left. This is my confession. So called the cleaning lady to tidy up the house and all that stuff. Last night, or not last night, but it was this morning. I woke up a little early, just to clean before the cleaning lady get there.
You haven't broken this trauma yet?
Nah, because the house wasn't nasty or anything.
Oh, you cleaned?
I cleaned a little bit and prepared for her to come.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, is that normal?
It is normal, but we've got to make it not normal. What are you paying them for?
I think there's not a problem with it if this is the case. A lot of times you want like a deep cleaning in your house.
Okay.
You don't want them picking up trash or your laundry. Go ahead and pick up the trash and pick up the laundry, throw it into the washer. Yeah. So they can do the deep cleaning, you know, the down on scrubbing the toilets and all that. I don't mind it. I actually don't mind it. I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, because so I told my wife a little late. I told her yesterday. I'm like, oh, by the way, Lila come in to clean. And she's like, why you ain't saying that? We got to clean up around here. So I didn't get a chance to clean up last night because I think I was playing a video game or something. I'm like, I'll do it in the morning.
Yeah.
So I woke up. I'm like, damn, I got to get going. So I started getting up like a lot of the trash, just random trash and clothes that was hanging around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me make sure it looks decent.
I actually support this. I think because you want them to do the tough stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the dusting. And also,
I don't want her to think I'm living like a pig.
Well,
she cleans for a living.
Yeah. There is that. You know, if you want her just to do everything and, you know, have her pay to clean up and scrub or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you tidying up or are you cleaning up? I've made this distinction in my mind because I do think that people are getting into the text line. And if it's stuff that's like, all right, this needs to have a place. She's not going to know where the place is. I need to put these things in. Or are you like, well, let me make sure that there's not like big messes so that she doesn't have to do that so she can do
the other. I did clean up just a tiny bit. It wasn't like a heavy clean.
It's like I'm going to sweep real quick so she could clean. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I
didn't sweep or anything, but it was some stuff. I'm like, you know what? Let me get the dishes out the way. Let me wipe the counter a little bit. Let me get my clothes out the way. I think we even made up the bed a little bit. So I'm like, all right, let me get this stuff out the way so she could do the other
You're
stuff.
Not alone. I don't mind that one at all.
Oh, okay. Maybe this is a distinction that matters. There's a maid and there's a cleaning lady. Okay. All right. Well, we're learning.
I definitely don't have a maid. I wish I did.
All right. So you mentioned something earlier that reminded me of a confession I wanted to get to. You talked about you don't necessarily always buy into the mysticism of certain stats, trends, whatever.
Yeah, just there's sometimes that it's fun to make light of it, but I don't actually believe it sometimes.
Like the Steelers on Monday night.
Correct.
That's how it came up.
Right. I don't know what would be so special about the Monday night versus other night games for the Steelers in particular.
While I generally agree with you, I do think there is something to certain places. The Steelers, Acrisure Stadium?
Yeah, now Acrisure Stadium.
On a Monday night, it might just be it's tougher. And the example I'd like to give is everybody talks about Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night, LSU. That is a tougher place to play. It's sometimes, unless the Aggies put 50 up on them, but that's another story.
All right. Okay.
But no, I think certain places at night are just tougher. And maybe, and that's my, I think maybe.
What's tougher about it, though? I don't know. Is it like the nighttime air?
Pittsburgh, the fans are drunker. You know, that's what happens at LSU.
But even with LSU, a lot of people always say how hot it is.
Yeah.
And the swamp and all that stuff. So
they always talk about the heat. Tiger Stadium at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's something to, you know, Pittsburgh at night. I think Clemson is like that at night. It's a tough place to play.
See, I also wonder how much this is self-fulfilling prophecy. The more you tell yourself, the more you believe it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things.
But the 23-0 doesn't lie.
That's one of the things that I do believe in that building. Mm-hmm. They've done a good job with the mental warfare of this game. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're buying in to the hype of they are undefeatable because they have some force field that protects them on Monday night.
I kind of look at this as, remember the Ravens had that long streak of not losing a preseason game?
Yeah.
I kind of look at it like that, where it's just some wonky stat, where it's just like, damn, they never lost a preseason game in how many years?
But as much as it's wonky, you know, two or three in a row is okay. I get it. 23?
But they've been an okay franchise for that long, too, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been pretty good franchise.
Yeah, I just think there's got to be something to it.
Are we going to find, are we going to do some research? We have to go and find out what the thing is. In fact, you know what? I said it, so I now I have to make my, now this is my duty. I'm going to see if I can find out. I'm going to go and do some research and maybe bring it back to you and see if I can find out what, as I'm writing down actively, what is behind the, the Monday night record. All right. Very good.
So Figgy now, doesn't want the cleaning crew to judge his nasty ass.
Clearly.
No, for real.
Clearly.
For real. Just find out if somebody, hey, I'm stopping over. You'd be like, uh-oh, let me straighten up a little bit. That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah, but you said that, like, you do that when you have people over to, like, hang out. She coming into work. Like, this is the job that she's doing.
Hey, I mean, that's with anybody, though.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Anybody.
But I'm sure she appreciates that. It's just a little bit. It's a little bit easier to get the job done because you did that before. All right, that's some lunchtime confessions here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's a Wednesday, so we'll do some Judge John Lopez. The Rockets have a new tradition, and it's on trial next.
All righty, hear ye, you know what time it is. Judge John Lopez, the court of the honorable me, is now in session. Let's get to it. Interesting stuff happening around the sports world right now. Let's start locally. We have...
I should probably have my microphone on.
Council Figgy, Council Reggie. Did you see the new Rockets tradition that they unveiled, I guess, in their last game against Phoenix?
Yeah, I guess the new year brought new tradition, huh?
Mm-hmm. And that is, basically, you know, after a victory, a lot of times, they'll set off the smoke and the
pyrotechnics
pyro
and stuff.
And all
now, is this
stuff.
After a victory?
After a victory.
Okay.
After a victory.
I wasn't sure if it was like a pregame type deal.
No, it's after, right?
Yeah, it's after. Yeah, it's after. Yeah, yeah. You know, you win, and I think it showed up because Kevin Durant
had
that game
winner.
Yeah, they
have, like, sort of the, I guess, official or unofficial player of the game. There's this big red button. It's out in the middle of the floor, and they just, like, you know, they just slam it with their hand, and all the pyrotechnics goes off. So this is the case today that we will be judging, and you guys will be arguing, is, are you in? Do you think this is going to be a hit? Do you think it's going to be a flop? Do you think it's going to be, is it a good thing to have this type? Because that happens at every NBA arena when there's a win. The pyrotechnics go off, you know, or pretty much every. You know, there's some sort of, you know, horns or whistles or smoke and all that stuff. But now they're actually doing it with a player hitting the big button. Figgy, what side are you going to take on this?
I'm going to take the side of I like this. I'm in on it. I think this is something cool. It seemed like this. They kind of lean in more into the astronaut type of space city type deal, where it's hit the red button and, you know, some cool things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is pretty cool, man. I think it makes people want to stick around. I know people trying to get out to their car and beat the traffic.
Yeah,
if the game is over and all that stuff. But to me, this kind of give me a reason to stick around a little bit just to see it. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great idea. I feel like this could be a thing where other teams, even in other sports, try to build and do something like this. I think this is a great idea by the Rockets.
It is unique, Reggie. But maybe there's a reason it's unique.
Well, it's actually not as unique as you would think.
Oh, really?
In the NBA, there's actually a few teams that do something similar. Like Orlando will have, they'll do the Play My Music. Have you heard the Orlando Magic song?
Yeah.
It's a banger. Ain't nobody Orlando Magic fans around here. However, that song goes. Like, I don't know if we have to play it at some point so you can hear it. Mm-hmm. But the Orlando Magic, the theme song, it gets you going. Like, there is a strong payoff there. You remember Sacramento Kings a few years back started their light the beam thing, which really unfortunate turn of phrase. If you know, you know. But they did have a button, and then the payoff was that outside the building, they shot up a big old light laser beam thing into the sky
that
lit up the whole damn city, right? Like there was a grandeur to it. The reason why I got to go opposite this one, I love the general idea. The payoff is Rockets liftoff, which is a graphic on the screen, and the pyro, as you mentioned, or the smoke going off as if it was lifting off, but there's not actually a liftoff element.
Oh.
So I love the thought process, but I don't think the payoff hits as hard as it should in the way that you want it to. I love the idea. Also, it's kind of hard getting a tradition off the ground, especially in the middle of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think start of the calendar year, middle of the season. So I thought that those things made it so that it didn't feel like it worked. But I like the idea generally.
So we're talking about it's there, but it might just fall flat.
Yeah.
I think ultimately this is kind of about, is it going to take? You know, did it? Will it take? Will it latch on, or will it just be like, oh boy, here comes another player hitting a big red button? And this is a tough one. I think I like the idea too. I like that it's unique. I like that Kevin Durant, by the way, was all in. You know,
yeah, he seemed to really enjoy hitting the button, didn't he?
On doing it. I think I'm gonna side with Figgy on this one. It you know, it's kind of like if you don't try, you know, it ain't gonna take off. And I think it could be unique to the Rockets fans. You know, the thing that I think I like in terms of your argument, Figgy, is if you don't want to mess with traffic, hang around a little bit. You know, hang around a little bit and give you something to do there.
And that's the one thing about games. A lot of games, we all try to beat the traffic. A lot of people stick around just so it can kind of clear out.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to really look at. It's everybody tearing stuff down and everything is over.
I like when they play the post-game radio interview over the speakers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's another little aspect of it. So, yeah, I think I don't know if it – I don't know how if it's going to stay or not, but I do think – worth a try.
I kind of like them trying something. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could add what Reggie said. Maybe add a little extra to it.
Going off the top.
Yeah, maybe something going up and fireworks going all over the place. I don't know.
But yeah, I don't know what cool. But it feels like it needs more of a payoff. Mm-hmm. It feels like a countdown where all you get is a small, like, you know, handheld firework.
That's a really strong
point. It feels like you need a grand finale. And I don't know exactly what that is. Yeah. I don't know if that's like we
have a rocket come out, you know, like it's taken off out of the middle of the scoreboard. Of course, that's like.
But there's not very much for it to go, right? Like you have to have somewhere for it to go.
Millions
I don't know.
Of dollars too.
Yeah, I do feel like they're on the right track, though. Yeah. I think just keep messing around. To me, it's better than not doing anything.
Yeah. All right. Next on the docket here, Carly Ursay Gordon. I think we have all sort of said we kind of appreciate her and like what she's doing, even though she's on a rival. She's a, I guess, president or acting owner, whatever the title is, of a rival team. But she had media availability after the loss to the Texans. Let's hear some of this.
We have been very clear with Chris and Shane that giving them another opportunity means that the sense of urgency for them to deliver and perform has never been higher. Chris and Shane are both capable of facing this challenge head on and finding a way to achieve the results that our fans deserve.
So here's what we're going to argue today. Reggie, you pick first on this one.
I don't know. Let Fig pick first.
Okay, let Figgy pick first.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just trying to be fair.
Nah, man. We don't need to start new traditions either.
I'm a judge. That's right. Big red button. Who goes first? So basically sticking with Ballard and Steichen. And she spoke, and this is, I think, what is getting a lot of run publicly. She spoke about a sense of urgency, okay?
Yeah.
Sense of urgency. So do you feel like she is, I guess, right, number one, or is this just sort of, you know, word salad, you know, just talking?
Your Honor, I got to say, and I was kind of a under the radar Carly Ursay Gordon fan a little bit. I was kind of.
I think we all were.
Yeah, I was kind of enjoying seeing her on the sideline with the headset and all that stuff, taking notes. But after this press conference, I'm kind of out on her, man. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of Colts fans are out on her. They could be in the moment, too. You know, a lot of fans be in the moment where they just say sell the team and all that stuff. But she used the word urgency a lot, man. Mm-hmm. Used the word urgency a lot. And to me, if it was some type of urgency, she probably would have made some type of move, man. Mm-hmm. Chris Ballard been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And I thought his seat was at least a little warm.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a move at the trade deadline, and it's looking like a rough move right now. You ain't got no first-round pick right now because of that. And your team lost every single game after starting, what, 8-1?
8-2.
8-2, something like that. You lost every game after that. To me, I feel like she kept using the word urgency, but I feel like she's not really buying into it because she, you know, to me, I feel like this was a fireable offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Shane Steichen is a good coach. I know he had the injuries and stuff like that. Chris Bell, I get it. But to me, I feel like the way their season went down the drain, I felt like it was a fireable offense.
Yeah.
And she used the word urgency way too many times. And to me, this ain't urgency.
I guess what it comes down to, we get your point. I guess what it comes down to, Reggie, is she just sort of p- pigeonholing herself into just, I'm just going to write it out and, you know, or whatever?
I mean, in a way, yes, but I actually don't think that's a bad thing here. Mm-hmm. I'm still in on Curly Ursay Gordon. It feels like she's operating from a place that makes sense. First and foremost, I liked her being on the headset as long as it was a headset. It was like the, you know.
No microphone.
Yeah, no microphone. No mouthpiece. Right? It's yeah. more listen, yeah. learn, get a feel. I think that there's clearly enough for you to look at Shane Steichen and go, he's been a good coach in the right circumstance. We know that he can get things done. Mm-hmm. The Ballard things makes it tough, but the reason why I'm good with Ballard staying is we've seen kind of a ping-ponging that happens at times in yeah. sports teams where you fire the general manager and then the general manager is stuck with the coach that you then fire and then the coach gets stuck with the general manager that you – and I kind of like the idea of if you're in on one of them and you're still in a place where you're learning, getting a feeling, no. and if she is right that she did establish that urgency, she did say it a little bit much where it felt like you were trying to sell it, but if you've established, hey, one last shot or you're gone, mm-hmm. you put this as a full team organization, or a full organizational kind of message that, hey, general manager, coach, if not, we will clean this thing out and we'll do it all over, and it feels like there's an aligning of timelines. There's a clear, like, there's an understanding of the things that went on this season that made it tough. Mm-hmm. And while Chris Ballard still remains, I think it's, yeah, that's aligns the timeline. So I'm still in on it, somewhat cautiously, yeah. Curly Ursay Gordon at the top of that. But it feels like she's got her head screwed on straight.
I think I'm going to side with Reggie on this one. Keep in mind, this is not even a full year that she's been an owner.
Oh, that happened this year, didn't it?
Yeah. Goodness gracious. I kind of like, I'm not going to come in and just rattle every cage and fire everyone. I think this might be a product of the headset that you referenced. I think she pretty truly appreciates what Steichen is doing. I don't know how much Ballard, but it seems so. I think she kind of gets where they're headed. Keep in mind they've had a mess at the quarterback position too.
Well, but then they also compounded the mess at the quarterback position though, didn't they?
Yeah.
The but trade for Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
But Your Honor, I felt like we had the same conversation when Calvin there took over, mm-hmm. and you know we was wondering, was he just too loyal to Bill O'Brien because of his father?
Right.
And I'm wondering if this is kind of the same thing, especially with the GM.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I understand not letting go of the coach right now because I feel like Shane Steichen is a good coach.
I think that's absolutely
but
fair.
But Chris Ballard been there way too long. I feel like he had a couple times where he probably should have been out.
I got to admit, I'm a little surprised.
I am as well. Yeah. I think Chris Ballard should have been fired like you a while ago. Yeah. Can I ask the question here? And I don't mean this to be leading. I genuinely ask. Do you feel like she feels confident enough that if she has to make a hire right now that she would do a great job?
Oh, I think so.
Early on in the process?
I think so. And it's not just because she wore a headset. I mean, she's her father's daughter. She was very involved. I forgot her title, but she was very involved in the football side, and which is why she got this job already. I think she's comfortable with it. I think she just kind of likes Steichen. By the way, Steichen is really well respected.
Yeah. I think right now, if she did have to try to find another head coach, I think it might be a struggle for the first couple times because every new owner, somebody taking over for the first time, they always kind of screw up a little bit until they kind of get everything together. So I don't think her first hire be a home run hire and all that stuff.
And a good point made on the text line. One last shot and you're gone makes people send two first round picks to another team for Laremy Tunsil. So I hear you in that regard. All right, that's another edition of Judge John Lopez here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. John, you are now free to take off your wig. All right, coming up next, looking still at the playoffs, how would you rank the quarterbacks that are going to be facing off, the 14 quarterbacks that are going to be facing off in the playoffs? How would you rank them, and where does C.J. Stroud rank in your opinion? 713-572-4610.
Before we go, we got the giveaway.
That's right. It is a Wednesday, and I almost forgot it, but thanks to Figgy Fig, you will get the opportunity to win a $50 gift card.
It's the last Wednesday.
Last chance to get this, and if you win this gift card, you are the last entrant to a giveaway that will see somebody win a Traeger grill and a case of OG sauce. All you got to do in order to win, be caller number 9 right now, 713-572-4610. If you're caller number 9, you get that $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop, and you're entered for the chance to win that Traeger grill and the OG sauce. So do that right now. Caller number 9, 713-572-4610. Let's power rank the quarterbacks in the playoffs next.